Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to tell you right from the onset of today's program that this is a parental guidance suggested program. We're going to be showing you some images of things that have occurred around the world to Christians, and we want you to be prepared in advance. You know, in a previous program, we continue to share and to talk about the persecuted church, and particularly what happened to 147 Kenyans at Garissa University in Kenya. They were slaughtered. They were massacred by Muslim jihadists, a group by the terrorists by the name of Al-Shabaab. And they were killed. They were asked, are you a Christian or are you a Muslim? And they were shot dead. And you may be even seeing images right behind me. This is an atrocity. This is horrible. When 147 Christians are slaughtered, and I have to tell you that the silence has been deafening. This is something that we need to continue to be on the forefront of talking about and sharing and letting the world know that this is not just, this is not right. And in particular, I'm a little bit concerned about our president. For some reason, he's having difficulties or challenges in being able to communicate when Christians are being persecuted and saying what it is, Christian persecution, and not saying that it's by the hands of Islamist terrorists, people that are following Islam. You know, in recent times, we just noticed that even in this particular incident, when 147 Christians, Kenyan Christians, were massacred in Kenya, this was the president's response. This is a Christian Post reporting. Michelle and I joined the American people in expressing our horror and sadness at the reports coming out of Garissa, Kenya. Words cannot adequately condemn the terrorist atrocities that took Garissa University College, where innocent men and women were brazenly and brutally massacred. They were innocent men and women, but they were Christian men and women. And they were brutally massacred by Islamist terrorists. That's what happened. That's what happened. But it's not being identified as such. But if you will remember, even when the Christians in Egypt, actually in Libya, on the shores of Tripoli, it was ISIS who took 21 Christians and they lined them up on the shores of Tripoli and they cut their heads off simply for being Christians. And our president said that it was a terrorist act. It was a terrorist act. And, you know, there was another incident that happened right around the attacks on Charlie Hebdo. And when the jihadists went in and they started to attack a kosher jelly, even with the Jews. And the president then said it was a random act of violence. No, they were persecuting Jews. They went to a kosher deli and they killed people. It's important that we understand this because right now it appears that every time the president begins to speak on the behalf of Christians, it's in the form of a rebuke instead of standing for them. For instance, in the most recent comments that were made at the Easter prayer breakfast, the president said that the Christians were acting less than loving. I want you to hear his words for yourself. Watch this.
On Easter, I do reflect on the fact that as a Christian, I am supposed to love. And I have to say that sometimes when I listen to less than loving expressions by Christians, I get concerned. But that's a topic for another day. Where there is injustice, I was about to veer off. I'm pulling it back. Where there is injustice, we defend the oppressed.
That's what concerns the president. What concerns me is when Christians are being attacked and they're being butchered, when Christians are being heads cut off, when 147 Christians are being massacred, we're not saying that it's Christians. And right now, while the White House administration is negotiating these Iranian these talks, including for the nuclear weapon capability and their enrichment of uranium, Pastor Saeed Abedini is still sitting in Iranian prison, Evin prison. At the very least, he could have been released. It's important that we acknowledge what's happening, because this is happening on the global scale. When we get right back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about this and how we can stand together for truth and stand, as the president said, stand for injustice. It's the persecuting of Christians and Jews. We're talking about the persecution of Christians. 147 Kenyans, Steve, were massacred in Kenya, Garissa University, by terrorist organization Al-Shabaab. And when the president speaks of this, you know, gives his response in regarding this awful attack.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that they were Christians. He says these are innocent men and women, Christian men and women. He says innocent men and women, and he says that they were brutal, they were brazenly and brutally massacred, but he leaves out by who? These were Islamists. These are jihadists. This is known. And why is there a failure to recognize that? You know, and then we talked about what happened in Egypt. And this is a cycle that continues to happen. But when it comes to rebuking or correcting or speaking about what Christians should be doing, that he freely speaks his mind. And it's just, it's concerning to me. I have the question. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Because even at a national prayer breakfast, he was speaking to Christians, telling them we should be careful about getting on our high horse. And in fact, I want you to watch this and hear for yourself. Watch this.
Humanity's been grappling with these questions throughout human history. And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ.
Terrible deeds in the name of Christ. There was a comparison there with what was happening in the Crusades to what had recently happened at that time, which was the ISIS attack, I believe, with Charlie Hebdo, Hebdo, however you pronounce it, in France. And it's like, this is not an accurate comparison.
It's like just bringing it up without really even really getting into what's really happening.
And here's the thing. It's like Christians are being persecuted, and we're going to talk more about what Christian persecution means, because we throw words out, you know, persecution. What is that? You know, anti-Semitism. What is that? Anti-Semitism is racism towards the Jews, right? Well, persecution on behalf of Christians is literally people groups who are verbally assaulting or attacking Christians or physically attacking Christians because they are Christians. That's it. And they're just attacking them. And in this case, what we're seeing around the world, we're seeing Christians being beaten, killed, murdered en masse. And we need to wake up. I mean, there's a message here to the persecutor, and there's a message to the persecuted. And we're going to talk more about that here as we continue to share. But he said something that was really interesting at the Easter prayer breakfast, and where he says that as he's listening, the fact that I want to get it for you. I want to get it for you. In fact, let's play that again. I want you to listen, because it was rather quick, and I want you to listen. 4:23 at the president's words at the Easter prayer breakfast. Watch this.
On Easter, I do reflect on the fact that as a Christian, I am supposed to love. And I have to say that sometimes when I listen to less than loving expressions by Christians, I get concerned. But that's a topic for another day. Where there is injustice, I was about to veer off. I'm pulling it back. Where there is injustice, we defend the oppressed.
Less than loving Christians, and I get it. You know, as Christians, that should be our calling card. We want to move in love, and you know, God is love. So yeah, this is our calling card for mm-hmm. sure. And it think about it, that's a great thing to aspire to be a person of love.
Mm-hmm.
But sounds a lot like, and I'm just saying, sounds a lot like Rules for Radicals, a book that was written by Saul Alinsky. And this was a book that the president actually taught when he wasn't the president prior to. And the book is, back of the book is dedicated to him and to Hillary Clinton, who was former Secretary of State. But in the Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky talks about one of the rules. Steve, would you read that rule for us?
Yeah, it's actually the fourth tactic, and it says, make the enemy live up to its own book of rules.
And I'm not saying that the president considers Christians. I'd be reading too much into it, but mm-hmm. it's like, you know, if your rule is to love, right, mm-hmm. and that's, it's not a rule for us, it's what we want to do. So now it's like, if you're not being unloving, we got to just show that to you. You're not being unloving. Isn't this what you aspire to do? Isn't this your goal? Isn't this what your aim is? Mm-hmm. Well, you're not loving. You're not loving. And it's like, well, I'm trying. I'm trying. You know, yeah. I'm trying.
Yeah.
But it's important, because there's two messages here. As we see Christians, you know, being assaulted on a global scale, to the persecuted, you know, I have a message. To the one who's doing the persecuting, I have a message. Careful, careful. I think about Saul before he became the Apostle Paul. In fact, in mm-hmm. Acts chapter 8, I want to read this, because, you know, just because it starts out this way doesn't mean it's going to end that way. And we may think that we're persecuting. That's the thing about the person who is persecuting a Christian. Christianity did not originate with Christians. It originated with God. You mm-hmm. know, they Christians follow the Bible, right? They follow the Bible because they want to honor the Lord, but they didn't write the Bible, right? I mean, this is God's inspired holy book, and it's about Him. So the fight or the issue is not with Christians. The issue really is with the God of the Christians. Mm-hmm. It's God. That's what the issue is. And Paul had to find this out. Because Paul thought that he was doing the right thing. See, in his mind, and I believe there are a lot of people that are persecuting Christians, persecuting Jews, because they think that they're doing the right thing. They are convinced of that. But, you know, you can be sincere about what you're doing, but you can also be sincerely wrong,
yeah.
you know? And Saul found that out. Saul thought that he was doing the right thing. He thought, we got to, you know, eliminate these people of the way, these Christians. Newsflash, this is not something new. Christians have been persecuted for a very, very long time. It's been happening for a long while. But this is what it says in Acts chapter 8. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And it talks about how godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house as he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. So there's a little bit of persecution going mm-hmm. on here. You know, Saul was bent on making sure that Christians were going to be eliminated. And we know that Saul, right, became Paul. But in chapter 9, we talk about what actually happened in this transition, what actually occurred. He's sincere, Steve. He was sincere. So to the one who's doing the persecuting, I know it may seem right, but it doesn't mean that it is right. Because this is what Saul found out. And this is what verse 1 says. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked them for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So Paul was getting his letters, he was getting his backing, and he was on his way to Damascus. Mm-hmm. And if he found any people of the way, Christians, right? If he found them, he's going to take them back.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to kidnap them. This is what's going on. And so the verse 3 says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? His response is, who are you, Lord? Question mark. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. I am Jesus who you are persecuting. Now get this. Saul was persecuting the people of the way. And while he was on his way, on a journey, he was hit with a flash of light in the middle of the day. It was so bright, knocked him off his horse. And he heard a voice saying, why do you persecute me? And he found out the voice was Jesus. Why are you persecuting Jesus? So we're not persecuting Christians. We're not persecuting people. The Bible clearly tells us that whatever we have done to the least of these brothers of mine, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. And so when you're persecuting Christians, you're persecuting Christ.
Mm.
The issue is not Christians. The issue is God. And Saul had some help, but he came to the realization that I need to follow.
Yeah.
I need to follow him. I need to follow God. And you can too. The flip side of this is for the persecuted, the Christian, got a message for you. Stand strong in the power of his might. I think about Stephen, a bold witness in the book of Acts,
mm-hmm.
who boldly proclaimed the good news of the gospel. And of course, we want to do our very best to speak the truth and in love, not to be unnecessarily offensive, because what's the goal of that? But I will say that the truth does offend the offender. I mean, if the truth offends, it offends. But Stephen proclaimed the good news. And because of that, he was stoned alive. It was interesting. The scriptures say that Jesus, he saw up in heaven, he was standing.
Yep.
He was standing. And so to our fellow brothers and sisters all over the world that are suffering great persecution, I think of Pastor Saeed, who is still in prison in Iran today, serving an 8-year sentence. I believe it's already been 3 years, mm-hmm. Steve. And there's countless many others that are suffering like that, really too many to name. We encourage you by our prayers. We stand with you. We stand strong in the power of his might. And to everyone else in the West, that's us, which is, you know, American Christians. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. Jesus told us already in his word, if this is how they treated the teacher, then you know how they're going to treat the student. To this we were called. Mm. To this, because we're not living for this life. We're living for the life to come. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about powerful testimonies of those who came to a saving knowledge of Christ and how it changed their life. You don't want to miss it. So we're talking about persecution. We're talking about the message to the one who's doing the persecution, mm-hmm. and the one who's being persecuted. And this is happening so much on such a global scale, Steve, that there's an actual ministry, Open Doors Ministry, mm-hmm. who actually is aware of the persecution, and they rank
mm-hmm.
the countries in terms of how bad the persecution is. Can you share with that?
Yeah. Yeah, because this is such a significant topic that, I mean, we have talked about it in detail and in depth that just previously we were talking about Yemen. We were talking about mm-hmm. Kenya. And what is amazing is that these atrocities that we're seeing, 147 people were just massacred, and Kenya's not even number one on the list. According to Open Doors, they have a World Watch list, and we'll make this related for you, but there's a top 50 country list. On top of that list, North Korea. Then you have Somalia, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan.
Now, back up. This is yeah. the top 10 of out of 50
out of 50
countries
mm-hmm.
where Christians are being persecuted, and the number one country where Christians are being persecuted is where?
North Korea.
North Korea.
North Korea.
Now, God's spoken to us prophetically about North Korea and Kim Jong-un. Just go to the torch, and
yes.
we'll make sure some of these are related for you, but interesting.
Yeah. And it continues on. Number five, Afghanistan.
What was number two? Go number back two, for us again.
Number two is Somalia. Number two is Iraq. Number four, Syria. Number five, Afghanistan.
Wow.
Six, Sudan. Seven, Iran. Eight, Pakistan. Number nine, I'm not familiar with. It's Eritrea, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And number 10 is Nigeria.
Wow.
And the list continues on to the top 50. 50 nations that Open Doors Ministry would be so intricately involved, and they even share, they have a separate page on their website that shows how do they rank these?
Mm.
Because on a scale of 0 to 100, North Korea is ranked 92, like 92 points out of 100. That's how they get the top number one. The number 50 has 49 points. And just to give you the scale, that's in Kuwait. And you kind of see these things, and it's just like in America, in the West, it's like you don't have that perspective. It's like there's 50 nations where this is happening. It's like, yeah.
Wow.
And it's just overwhelming.
Amazing. What we want to do is not to remain silent on this network, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to not only us personally stand with the persecuted church around the world, but we want to begin to talk to the church in America
mm-hmm.
about the realities of what we're soon to be experiencing en masse. We pray not. We hope not. God forbid. But I tell you that there's a lot of things that are happening, you know, presently. This is the time to be awake. And I don't even know if much people, Steve, I don't even know this, but just yesterday, the power went out in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
The White House lost power. And it's like, are these signs?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Are these signs? You would think that, you know, generators but they lost power. And it's important for us just to stay alert and be aware. But I want to encourage you to hear the words of what was shared in Revelation 2 to the church of Smyrna, because they were encouraged to stand firm and
mm-hmm.
to overcome in the face of great persecution. The word says that I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you that the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life.
Mm.
I mean, Jesus' words are saying, be faithful. Be faithful, even to the point of death. And it's our goal. It's our aspirations. We fall more in love with Jesus to honor him by life or by death. And it gives a deeper meaning to take up your cross and follow me. Because when we give our lives to Jesus, we're giving our lives wholeheartedly. We need to be 100% in. And the whole reason that we live and move and have the whole reason we exist is to glorify him, whether by our lives or by our death, is to give him all the glory. And so we want to encourage you, stand strong, stand firm.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.